Glad to have you with us today, especially if you're visiting with us. Our ladies look nice in their hats. That if you are visiting with us, that's not a normal thing. And they are, a lot of them are wearing their hats today due to a, I don't know if you call it a challenge or an invitation or what, from some of our other ladies. And they look nice. Thank you. You take your Bibles and open with me. Let's go first of all. I'll tell you what, you turn your Bible to the book of Matthew. We're going to be there in just a second in Matthew chapter 27. It was my privilege again this year to write the questions for Bible Bowl. I'm going to show you give you one of the questions tonight as an introduction into our lesson for this evening. And as you do those questions, and as you go through the book of, this time it was the book of Luke, and you raise the questions from there, and you see all the different things that are being taught, you just hope and pray that our young people and their teachers and all of us as adults, as we are reading through any book in the Bible, that we take the time to be still and to be quiet and to see the depths of the things that God would have us to know. We're going to be looking tonight at a remarkable passage of Scripture. But it's not any more remarkable than the page that is in front of it, nor the pages that are behind it. It's just simply typical of everything that the Bible has to say for us and do for us. It's a passage of Scripture that you can read and absolutely miss the depths of what's occurring and what's taking place. And the same thing can be true of the passages that we're going to be looking at today. The reading from the book of Acts chapter 10 talks about the fact that the individuals who record for us the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ were the individuals who were chosen by Jesus himself to be the eyewitnesses of it. They simply record for us what they saw. They simply record for us what was recorded in their mind by the events that they saw and the things that they heard and the things that they were a part of. They were as slow as so many times we are in listening and in catching on to what was going on. It is after his resurrection, when he's walking with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, that they begin to chastise this unknown stranger who happens to be Jesus. But his identity is hidden from them, and they consider him an unknown stranger who is ignorant of all the events that have just taken place in Jerusalem. And then toward the end of the conversation, Jesus will say to them, "Oh, you foolish men, slow to believe all of the things that have been written by the prophets." Every year, we are challenged again in our faith toward the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every year, we are challenged again with the things that are recorded in the Bible as to whether they are true and accurate and worthy of our belief. And every year we are called upon by individuals who think they know more, who think they understand more, and who think they have a better grasp on all of the things that relate to this man Jesus than we do, when we simply read what the eyewitnesses wrote. And the question that ought to come forefront to our mind every single time is simply in our mind to ask the ones whom we are watching, if it's on a movie, or whom we're reading if it's in a book, were you there? Did you see it? I'd rather trust the ones who saw it. I would rather trust the ones who were there. Because what they write for us is what they saw and what they heard. And what they saw and what they heard is unanswerable. It is unanswerable to anyone, especially today, 2,000 years after the fact. Let's take a look at the things that they saw and heard. There. I'm going to put it all up. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 records for us a conversation that took place between the high priest, the leaders of the law, and a conversation that they had with Pilate. Verse 62, the Bible will tell us this. On the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. This is the day after his crucifixion, and they have a concern. And they said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day, because his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' and that last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go make it as secure as you know how." And they went, and they made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stones. The guards were multiple in number. We learned that from the other accounts, because it's the guards that go back and report what has just taken place. And we're about to get to that, but first of all, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 27. And I want you to notice what is revealed to us in this statement. You can read it and look at it over and over again, and it can even be reported, and you miss what is being said here. You miss what is being acknowledged. You miss what's being admitted. And the admission is made not by the disciples of Jesus, but by his enemies. The admission is made by those who hated him and those who wanted all accounts of his life to come to an end and to be destroyed. The enemies of Jesus knew what he said. They knew that he said, "Destroy this body and in 3 days I'll raise it again." They knew that he said, "In 3 days I will come back alive. On the third day, I will be living again." They knew that he said that. They also knew that he was dead. There was no faking of his death. There was no possibility that he was still alive. They knew, the enemies, that he was dead. The proof had been given to Pilate, and the proof they had seen for themselves. Not only did they know what he had said, and not only did they know that he was dead, they knew where he was buried. They knew where the body went. They knew where the body was. It was in no other location. They knew the exact location of where the body was buried. It wasn't hidden from anyone. It was open to everyone. The women were even sitting across from the way in front of the tomb, watching as the men who buried him put him into the tomb and sealed the stone. And others could have been there and watching and waiting. And the high priest and those who worked with him had a vested interest in making sure he was dead and knowing where he was buried. They asked permission of Pilate to set a guard for the tomb, to make sure that the disciples would not steal the body. And Pilate granted that request. And they went with the guard and they sealed the tomb. So they knew where he was buried. They knew he was dead. They knew what he had said. And now they have done everything that they possibly can to make sure nobody takes the body out of the grave. They themselves took the position of guard, or selected the guards that would be in charge of the tomb. And then everybody knew, whether you loved him or hated him. On the third day, the body was no longer in the tomb. For most everybody who does not understand Christianity and does not understand the New Testament, they think that is the proof. It is part of it. But it's not the only thing, and it's not even the most important thing. Of course, if you've got a resurrected body, the body is no longer in the grave. But this is just the first element of the proofs that the New Testament gives to us in connection with Jesus being raised from the dead. The next one is almost an incidental thing, and this in connection with the guards. As soon as the guards saw all that happened, what did they see? This force, angels, removed the stone, and this body comes out of the tomb. But it's not wrapped in grave clothes. And it doesn't have a head covering over its head. And they fall on their face as dead men. And then they go back into the village and they report to those that have sent them everything that they have seen. And the high priest then gives them money to go and report throughout all of Jerusalem that the disciples came and stole the body while we were asleep. And if you know anything about the culture of that time and the expectations of the guard and the judgment against the guard who would allow his prisoners to escape, for the guards to go into the town and brag about the fact, well, we fell asleep and they came and stole the body while we were asleep, and to do that throughout the town, and then to have the high priest to say that if the words of this come to the governor, we'll protect you. If the words of this come to the governor, we'll make sure that you are taken care of. And this story was widely circulated. But there are two accounts yet, and this one is the most detailed in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, this is what the eyewitnesses saw. Mary comes to Peter and to John, and she's distraught. She has seen the body missing from the temple, and she does not say, as a result of it, the Lord is risen. Her conclusion when seeing that the body is no longer in the grave is they have stolen the body, and we do not know where they've taken him. And so Peter and John run to the tomb, and when they come to the tomb, the Bible tells us that John gets there first and he looks in and he sees the wrappings that were wrapped around the body of Jesus and sealed, glued together. They're still there. And they're still in the form of a body. They are laying there just as they were laid when they laid the body of Jesus in the tomb. But they have sunken, and there's no body in them anymore. And Peter gets there, and he walks in, and he sees this, as well as John, who's standing at the cave entrance, or the entrance to the tomb. And when he comes in, he also notices that the head cloth, the cloth that's placed around the head, is still lying there. Apart from the linen cloths, but in the place where it would have been, wrapped around the head. And the Bible will tell us that both of those men believe. I'm not sure exactly what they believe yet. But I know for certain that what they believe is that this body was not stolen. They may have such a hard time believing what's actually occurred. And maybe what actually occurred is so incredible, it's almost impossible for them to wrap their minds around it. But this body was not stolen. Because how could you steal the body and leave the linen cloths in the way that they were? How could you steal the body and leave its wrappings just as they were? And so they come out, and they don't look for the body of Jesus because they know it wasn't stolen. They may be confused about what happened, but they know it wasn't stolen. And the Bible simply tells us what they saw. It simply tells us what the eyewitnesses saw when they came into the tomb. But the most incredible is next. Because Jesus appeared to them for over a month. He appeared to them. He spoke with them. They ate with him. It was on that very day, that first Sunday, that Sunday of his resurrection, that Sunday when he walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, that Sunday when Peter and John had already been to the temple and visited it, it was that very same Sunday that he appeared to the apostles. They were amazed and they were overjoyed. But one of them wasn't there, and his name was Thomas. Thomas, not being there when he was told this by the rest of the apostles, said, "I will not believe it until I see him and touch the wounds in his side and the wounds on his hands." It was 8 days later. It was the next first day of the week. It was the next Sunday when Jesus came back again. And this time Thomas was there. And this time Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach your hands, touch my hands, touch my side, and know that it's me." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen? Blessed are those who've never seen, and yet they believe." Believe what? The eyewitness accounts. Just as the apostles were expected to believe the prophets, and they didn't. Just as the apostles were expected to believe what the other witnesses who were seeing him were saying, but they had a hard time. Jesus will now say to one of those apostles who didn't believe when he was told. He didn't believe until he saw. "You believe because you've seen. Blessed is the one who has never seen and yet believes." It is Jesus' appearance. It is Jesus showing himself that become the most important things. The most important proof. They know exactly where the body is. It's now in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. They know exactly where the body is. They saw it rise into heaven. They know exactly where the body is. They saw him and talked with him and ate with him for over a month. They know exactly what happened to Jesus on that first day of the week when his body and he came out of that grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 7, Paul says this is the gospel. Jesus died according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. And the rest of the New Testament, after the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, will tell us what that means for us. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, every word he said is true and is going to happen. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, every word he says about him judging us is true. Also, every word he has said to us about every one of our sins being paid for by his death, if we simply put trust in him, is true. All because he was raised from the dead. Because when he was raised from the dead, he was proven with power to be the Son of God, telling us the truth with regard to everything. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he appeared. Cephas saw him first, then the 12. Then more than 500 brethren at one time. many of whom, Paul said when he wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, are still alive. Then James saw him. Then all the apostles. And then last of all, like a child born out of season, Paul saw him himself. There is no other explanation for the life of Saul of Tarsus, for what he did and what he became, what he gave up, what he walked away from, and what he did for the remainder of his life. There is no other explanation for it other than the fact he saw Jesus. And Jesus was, in fact, raised from the dead. The apostles make a statement in the book of Acts, chapter 10, that reads like this, in connection with their eyewitness account. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. So how do you read the Bible? Do you ignore it as if it is of no significance at all? Do you read it trying to prove it wrong? You need to be careful. Because when honest hearts read Scripture trying to prove it wrong, they are proven wrong. Because the key is an honest heart. And so if anyone's will is to do God's will, you can put it another way. If anyone's will is to find truth, if anyone's will is to follow what is right and to follow what is true, then you will know the teaching, whether it's from God or whether I'm speaking from my own authority. Jesus, John 7:17. That's the case with each and every one of us today. Don't stop reading the eyewitnesses' accounts, because you know they are the only account we have of the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. And the individuals who write emphatically about the facts of that day and ignore the facts of the eyewitnesses are too late. They haven't seen a thing. They don't know a thing except from what they choose to believe from what others have written before them. We choose to believe the eyewitnesses. We choose to believe the ones who saw it, the ones who were there. And for that reason, we believe Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. And because of that event, we believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the one to whom we are to hold in all things and in everything. Are you in Christ this morning? If you've been washed with him and washed by his blood, if you need to come home to him, if you need to respond to his invitation for whatever the reason, we invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.